भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाया मुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिरभवती नैष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 46 टेक्स्ट 44। एवं निशा सा ब्रुवातोर व्यतीता नन्दस्य कृष्णुचारस्य राजन् गोप्या समुथया निरूप्य दीपम् वस्तुन् समभर्यस्य दधिनी अमन्थन्। एवं निशासा भृतोर्वातिता नन्दस्य कृष्णस्य राजन् गोप्या समुतय निरूप्य दीपम् वस्तुन् संभरस्य दधीने अमन्तन। एवं निशस भृतर्वतीत नन्दस्य कृष्णुचरस्य राजन् गोप्या समुथय निरूप्य दीपम् वास्तुन् समभ्रश्य दधीनि अमन्तन्। एवं निशस भृतोर्वतीत नन्दस्य कृष्णुचरस्य राजन् गोप्या समुथय निरूप्य दीपम् वस्तुन् संभर्यस्य दधीनमन्तन्।
Madhajis. కృష్ణ.
Evam, in this way, Nisha, the night, Sa, that, Bruvato, as they were both speaking, Vatita, was finished, Nandasya, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna Anucharasya, and the servants, and the servant of Krishna, Uddhav, Rajan, O King, Parikshit, Gopya, the coward woman, Samuthaya, rising from sleep, Nirupya, lighting, Deepan, lamps, Vastun, the domestic deities, Samaprayashya, worshipping, Dadini, curds, Amanthan, churned. While Krishna's messenger continued speaking with Nanda, the night ended, O King. The woman of the coward village rose from the bed and, lighting lamps, worshipped their household deities. Then they began churning the yogurt with butter. Text 45. As they pulled on churning ropes with their bangled arms, the woman of Raja shone with splendor of their jewels, which reflected the lamp's light. Their hips, breasts and necklaces moved about, and their faces, anointed with reddish kumkum, glowed radiantly with the luster of their earrings reflecting from their cheeks. Next verse. As the ladies of Raja loudly sang the glories of lotus-eyed Krishna, their songs blended with the sound of their churning, ascended to the sky and dissipated all the inauspiciousness in every direction. When the godly sun had risen, the people of Raja noticed the golden chariot in front of Nand Maharaj's doorway. "Who does this belong to?" they asked. "Perhaps Akrura has come. He who fulfilled Kamsa's desire by taking lotus at Krishna to Mathura." Purport. The gopis angrily spoke this statement. Text 49, the last verse of this chapter. Is he going to use our flesh to offer funeral oblations for his master, who was so satisfied with his service? As the women were speaking in this way, Uddhav appeared, having finished his early morning duties. Purport. This verse reveals the bitter disappointment the gopis felt when Akrura took Krishna away. However, they were pleasantly surprised to see that the unexpected guest is Uddhav. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 46th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Uddhav Visits Vrindavan.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Namo mahavadanyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namine gauratvishe namaha. Pancha tatvakmakam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So this is very auspicious day today. The first day that we sing the wonderful Jagannath Ashtakam, glorifying Lord Jagannath. Today being the Snan Yatra, or which is actually the appearance day or birthday of Lord Jagannath. Very auspicious. But as we understand from the scriptures that what is very auspicious for devotees is many times most inauspicious for outsiders. Ya nisha sarva bhutana. What is night for a devotee is day for a materialist, and vice versa. So today, while we are celebrating the most auspicious Snan Yatra, the world over, they are very fearful. Because today happens to be a very unique combination of Friday the 13th, which is considered to be a dangerous day, I don't know why, and happens to be a full moon, which adds to the danger, as per what they say. It's very rare that this combination comes, where Friday comes on the 13th with a full moon. The next time this is going to happen is only in 2098. We may not be there for this next event. But so everybody is very scared, because Friday the 13th itself, superstitiously, is very, very scary day, because I don't know what. But when that comes on a full moon, it is double scary. So while the world is getting scared, everybody is talking about it. We are celebrating the most auspicious day of Snan Yatra. So this is the unique thing in devotee circle. Yesterday people were talking, oh, tomorrow you should reach home early, there will be a lot of accidents, there will be a lot of negative energy and all these things. Well, but today is also the day where Lord Jagannath appears, is Tithi. So very auspicious. So these beautiful verses which are showing a very, very deep and a very, very elevated topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you see, the human being is one of the most wonderful creations of God. You know, of all the creations that the Lord has created, human being is something very, very special, because it is the human being which has the power of feeling, willing, and showing our emotions, the facility of thinking, feeling and willing. So if you see, everyone is filled with unlimited emotions. If you analyze how many emotions are there in people's existence, there are unlimited emotions. Emotions of fear, emotions of happiness, of doubt. So many emotions. I think we all are constantly having these emotions, and there's constant churning going on. And to the extent a particular material stimulus comes in front of us, there's this churning of emotion that takes place. And a prominent emotion that is the right emotion for that particular stimulus comes out. And that is what is called behavior. Right? So what is behavior of a person, of a human being? Is nothing but a response of a particular of multiple emotions which are churning in the heart based on a stimulus by a particular material object or particular material situation, and a prominent emotion which is the outcome of that churning comes out. For example, you know, it's extremely hot nowadays. Now people are just sweating, smelling, you know, and just so uncomfortable. So when you're traveling by a local train, you know, and with huge crowd, there is so much emotion of discomfort, of frustration, of anger, of disgust. Isn't all these emotions are there? What am I doing here? And then, at that time, when somebody stamps your feet, it's just, oh, and in that smelly place, you know, well, somebody is just holding the thing, and you are right, you are sometimes short, so your nose is at the wrong place. But you can't do anything. You are just so helpless. It's unfortunate. So the prominent emotion that comes through this material situation is either anger or frustration or disgust. There's huge fights, right? So that's the prominent emotion. So while we are, you know, going through this emotion, it is something we must understand, that the creation of God, that God has created, is the human being, is an amazing art of creation of God. I was just reading a particular book which talks about various phobias that people can have. You know, there's phobia. Phobia means fear or disgust. Now, I was completely amazed, I'm sure all of you would also be, that there are practically 300 to 400 different types of phobias that somebody can have. Phobia is nothing but emotion that is churned at a particular time when a particular thing happens. And the emotion of fear. So just to name a few, what samples, as we're going to sample hai ye, what samples of phobias can people have? Which is nothing but emotion. There's something what is called ablutophobia. What is called ablutophobia, which means the fear of washing and bathing. I mean, can you imagine a person having a phobia of washing and bathing? He just gets so fearful, phobic, to just anything which is washing or clean or bathing. There's something what is called chetophobia, the phobia of hair. I mean, you know, I knew of a friend of mine when I was staying in a hostel for a year, who had this phobia. He was clean shaved, by the way, completely clean shaved. You know, and even if there was one hair in the bathroom, he would be like, "Oh, nikalo, nikalo, isko nikalo, take it out." I said, "Well, you know, it is dirty. I agree, the hairs are dirty, but you know, it can't be just." But people are phobic to it. Just a strand of hair can make it completely, you know, fearful. Now this interesting phobia called hagiophobia. Now none of us should have this, by the way. Hopefully nobody gets it. It is called fear of saints and holy things. There are people who have hagiophobia, who just are so fearful of saints or sadhus and anything holy. They just can't deal with it. And we understand why some people, to some extent or the other, to some degree or the other, they don't even, when you go to a spring book marathon, give them a book and they just, don't touch me. Don't touch this book. Why? Because they may be having, to some small degree or the other, this phobia of dealing with anything which is holy. They say it is Satan. They say it is unholy. Huh? There's something what is called eleogorophobia. This is very interesting. It is fear of cats. Now, you know, what is a cat? And I mean, all of us, we go around and there are so many cats just going around. I mean, nobody really gets scared. But you know something? Some of the most powerful people in this world, they had this phobia. There would be a fearful experience to these people. They were the people like Napoleon, Hitler, Mussolini, and Julius Caesar. They all four had this phobia of cats. they could kill lakhs of people. They could be powerful, but a cat would send a shiver in their spine. That was how phobic these people. They were powerful dictators, but they had this unique phobia. And last is tapiophobia. The last, I mean, many the list. You can go to the internet and see all the interesting phobias. But this tapiophobia, fear of being buried alive. Now, none other than George Washington had this phobia. And he mentioned that when I die, don't bury me until it is 2 or 3 days to make sure I'm really dead. Because if I'm still alive and you bury me, he mentioned in his will, he mentioned to his secretaries, he mentioned to his wife, everybody knew that please bury me after a few days of my dying, because he was so phobic to being buried alive. Strange things. But the thing I'm trying to drive is that these emotions are so very powerful, and they are very real to the people who have those emotions. We might find very strange these emotions, but they are very real to people who have these emotions. So the behavior of a person is nothing but a blend of all these emotions, and that's why we understand that every behavior, if we can see from two perspectives, every reaction to a particular stimulus by somebody. One is on the realistic side, on the idealistic side, I would say, not ideal, idealistic side, that yes, ideally this is not right. You know, for example, I was just reading this particular last line of the purport, is that the gopi said, easier come to take our flesh and offer it to his master's funeral, now that his master is very happy and skilled. That is what gopis are telling about Akrur, which we know that it is false. Akrur has not come. They are wrongly saying this statement. It is a false. It's a wrong judgment. So from the idealistic side, you can say, well, what is this? The gopis are wrongly, they are not even waiting to really see who has come. As it was a wonderful custom, as we all have this custom, that the person whom we like, we want to keep a track of what's happening with that person. Or who is in his room, or where is he? Naturally, our spiritual master, we want to know what's happening. Similarly, the Vrindavan, everybody wanted to know what's happening at the house of Nanda Maharaj. Because that was the focus point of Vrindavan. And when they got up in the morning, they saw this golden chariot. I said, oh, there's a golden chariot. And for them, chariot meant, just imagine the phobia that they had for Akrur. The reason I talked about phobia is because they were so very fearful of Akrur, because there was a chariot which came to Vrindavan, which completely changed their life permanently. It was never the same after that chariot left. That was a chariot of Akrur. So any chariot, it gave a very, very, very negative feelings in the heart of the gopis. Why do you think that, you know, when our rickshaw sometimes go, or our car sometimes go, why do you think that the dog runs after the rickshaw or car? I mean, we see, bah, 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 and they run. Sometimes you wonder that how foolish, and there's also a proverb, the dog barks, the caravan passes. That means they said that the proverb is used that don't worry about people just speaking, just carry on with your work. The dog barks, nobody stops, right? No car stops to say, oh, why the dog is barking so heavily? The car just goes and bah, bah, bah. And really, sometimes you see the dogs are desperate. They just go with such vengeance. They bark and then they fall quite far. And then they're overpowered by the car and then they go. But if you analyze, the reason is because either in their life or in the life of somebody that they know, somebody has died below a car. Somebody has been trampled below a car. So they are reacting to that feeling. In Vrindavan, I was in Barsana many years back. And there was this cow. In every truck that would pass, she would just run so heavily, almost getting crushed by the truck. Till the time she had to be constantly tied up. And I was feeling so, I said, she would just run so vigorously. Cows don't run so heavy, I mean, they're heavy bodied. But she would run with as much as speed she could, and then they asked her because her calf was killed by a truck. That's why this feeling she has. So again, I'm saying the reaction to whatever a person does is based on the emotion that is churned, based on previous experiences in this life or in the previous lives. So let us understand, there's one side of dealing or rather reacting or rather judging a person's behavior from the idealistic side and say, well, this is wrong. The gopis are wrongly judging Akrur because he was not there also. It is Uddhav who has come. And they are speaking something, as he said. This verse reveals the bitter disappointment. And they are quite bitter about things, right? They are saying that, you know, that, kyun aaya hai idhar? In Hindi, it will sound very sweet, more than English. Has he come to take our flesh and offer it to his master? You can imagine the emotion that they have. But if you see from the humanistic side, and that is an important discussion today. One is the idealistic side, other is the humanistic side. And then when you see all the emotions, why they spoke what they spoke. Not just what they spoke. Many times we just say, what did you speak? That is what is, I understand. Right? People say, I don't care. Aapne kya bolwa mere ko, wo main kiya. Right? So that is a very, very superficial and not really deep understanding of things. You know, many years back, you know, when my brother was becoming a devotee, Dwarkadish Prabhu, you know, he was becoming a devotee, and I'm talking about the mid-80s. And, you know, my parents and myself, we have a family of four, and my parents were really worried, what is happening to this person? He's becoming a doctor, they have spent so much of energy to make him a doctor. And suddenly he starts going to these programs. at one point he said, you know, he's going to Bangalore for a medical conference. And my father comes to meet him at the train, you know, to just... And then he says that the whole train he's not there. What happened? And he was worried. He goes to his hostel. I said, where is this person? I'm his father. I said, because the Bangalore train was in the evening. And the people in the hostel said, well, his light was on in the early morning and they left in the early morning. And my father said, what, early morning? And the only train early morning which was going was to Kolkata. And then he went, and that was the 1986, the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And big festival in Mayapur. And my father realized that my brother is in Mayapur instead of Bangalore. Of course, nothing wrong with my brother. I mean, at that time, that was the right way of dealing with the parents, because if he told the truth, they would be finished. He could not go. But at that time, my father straight went to the... There was no Dis temple. There was this Radha Ras Bihari Mandir, which was... So he met two of the devotees whom my brother was getting preached by, brahmacharis. I won't name them. One of them you know very well. Sukhdev Goswami Maharaj, by the way. So he went and, you know, he was a brahmachari, Srinivas Acharya. And he, unfortunately for him, my father met him right at the entrance of the temple. He was going and my father caught his collar. So what are you doing with my son? And he spoke very harshly. Very harshly. And then later on, many things, they would speak harshly about devotees. But, you know, later on they became devotees. My parents became devotees and they both left a wonderful Krishna conscious spirit. So, if from the idealistic point of view, they did something wrong. But if you understand the emotion that they were going through and the reason why they spoke so harshly, because they were not knowing what's happening to their son. Right? So the point that we want to drive here is the desire of being judgmental is so very strongly present in all of us. To judge people. He's like this. Because why does this desire to judge people come? Right in the first day of Krishna consciousness, we start judging people. Right moment you come, this is a nice person, this temple is not good, this is bad. So judging. Why is it? Because judgment, if you analyze also, we realize that judging somebody is a powerful way to satisfy your false ego. Because you feel that here I am. Nobody has asked your judgment, but you feel nice. As you said, Tera kisna, we are not, nobody has asked your opinion, by the way, my friend. But still you just be happy to judge people because it gives you feeling. Because who are the judges? If you see even a normal competition, who is made a judge? Is it some junior, ordinary person? The judges are usually people who are senior, respectable, experienced people. They are made judges. That these three people are judges because they are experienced people. And they are the right people to be judges. So being a judge is a very, very high position. And realistically speaking, only Krishna can be the judge. Because only He is perfect. Is aparushya. Is achuta. Is adokshaja. He's beyond his material senses. He's not touched by any human feelings. A parushya. Achuta. He's infallible. So only Krishna can be the judge. And at the most, Yamraj, who is given the service by Krishna to be the judge. It is Krishna has empowered here. You be the judge. You judge people and that's your service. And the guru that becomes the judge on behalf of Krishna. He has to judge his disciples. Judge his followers. But being a judge is a very lofty position. It's a very, very high pressure job. I mean, I remember, you know, many years back, I'm sure all of you guys play cricket. Maybe we still play cricket. But we used to definitely play cricket. So, you know, I remember in our team, nobody wanted to be the umpire. You know, we have this umpire. When we didn't have professional umpires, so one of us would become umpire and there would be other 11 people who play the cricket. But umpiring was a very boring and a very difficult thing. Because when there was an appeal for somebody being out, it was all 11 people said, "How is that? Out!" I mean, everybody's looking at the umpire and he's like, and this one finger makes the whole judgment, right? You have seen in cricket how there's a heavy, when there's a pressure match and a pressure situation in a match, and every small judge decision can change the whole way the match is. The umpire. That's why nowadays they have the third umpire sitting in the pavilion, because they see through the video, you know, what exactly, whether there was a cut or there was something touched the stumps or something like that. Because being a judge is very difficult. Because we are all human beings. Error is human. Right? So it is difficult. But we find it very, very enjoyable, especially when we come to Krishna consciousness. Because we feel that we have the position to make judgments, which is very, very dangerous. So when we think of judgments, why are we judgmental? Is because of false ego, because of desire to be Prabhu. But how not to be judgmental? Because Jesus Christ said very clearly, "Judge not, for thou shalt not be judged." Right? So how can we not be judgmental? What is the feelings? What are the emotions? What are the understanding we should have? Because it is very dangerous. Because the moment you judge, Krishna is going to judge you. You know, sometimes it is even human behavior, right? When somebody is very, very finicky about things, then when you deal with people, then that person, when he starts dealing with you, he also becomes very finicky with you. Right? He said, you try to be too smart, I'll be too smart with you also. Like, I remember, you know, we were going together, two of us, one of my friends, and, you know, one ticket collector asked for a pass. I said, Pass dikhao. So then I showed him my pass, and then my friend was little, not a devotee, I'm just in college, he was little extra smart. He said, "Aapka pass dikhao pehle." He asked the TC, said, "Show me your," because you might be a fake TC. He didn't say that, but "Show me your." So TC asked, supposed to show, so he showed. But with that, he had this vengeance. He felt offended. So then he said, then the friend showed him the pass, and he was like, "Take this." And unfortunately for my friend, his pass had expired. He didn't know it. You know, he just showed it. So immediately this guy just caught him. "Aaja bachcha abhi now.
पास खत्म हो गया. दैट गाय वॉज शॉक्ड. सो देन it took him 3 hours to get released from this TC because he put all his vengeance on him. I said, you guy, you are trying to check me, now I will do the needful for you, right? So when you judge somebody, the other person feels naturally that I will going to judge you also when the time comes. When somebody is wrongly judged in the paper and you get wrong marks, when he becomes a teacher, he does the same thing. Yeah, because that's natural. It's not natural, it is unnatural, but it is humanly natural. Spiritually not natural. Similarly, Krishna, you know, he is lenient. You know, when we are lenient with others and strict with ourselves. But when you are strict with others, then Krishna becomes strict with us. So, oh, you want to judge everybody? That's why Jesus Christ said, judge not, for thou shalt not be judged. So the first reason is that we have to understand. Jesus Christ gave a weight not to be judgmental. He said, thou shalt judge not, for thou shalt not be judged. And in the beautiful story where he said, let he who without sin cast the first stone. Beautiful story, we all know. Everybody was trying to stone that prostitute, and the prostitute came running to Jesus Christ. This guy made this one simple statement. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone, and nobody, because they were honest, luckily at that time. Luckily they said, oh, and then they put the stone down. It is very well shown in that movie, Jesus of Nazareth. So they see, they were angry on the prostitute, they wanted to stone her to death, but then realize, oh, psh, and they threw it down. So you can judge others if you are flawless yourself. The first powerful reason not to be judgmental. We hear many times that we should be so busy to see the faults of ourselves because we are honeycombed with so many faults of ourselves. We should have no time to judge others. So first reason is that we are not without sin. We should be just, we have so many things that we need to sort out with. And as they say, please mind your own business. Let us really mind our own business to find our faults. We have a long way to go. Second is, a very, very important is, as we discussed briefly, but to address this point more specifically, try to understand the other person and the situation. As I said, why a person does what he does. That means be very sensitive in your dealings. A devotee, when we talk about being devotee, being transcendental, does not mean that he becomes insensitive. Many times we decode the word transcendental to mean very insensitive. Well, I am transcendental. That means our husband not taking care of his wife. How do we describe him? Prabhu, he is very transcendental. He is a fool. He's not transcendental. He's an idiot. He's not transcendental. Transcendental is something very divine. Right? So we must understand that we have to be very, very sensitive when we deal with people. Krishna consciousness means all about sensitive behavior with everybody. So as we grow in our Krishna consciousness, if we are not properly practicing bhakti, then we will see our sensitivity reducing. We will have the my way or the highway attitude. Just do things my way or just get going. And we have seen people, leaders becoming like that. But as we grow in a Krishna consciousness, if we are understanding that Krishna is a doer, I am simply a servant. If you are in the mood of being the humble servant, then we become more and more and more sensitive in our dealings. And then when we are sensitive, then we will always put ourselves in other person's shoes. And I've tried this so many times. You know, by the mercy of spiritual master, there is some understanding that we get to deal with people and putting ourselves in other person's shoes and 9, if not 10 out of 10 times I've seen that the person, the way he behaves, is not much his fault. There's always some reason why a person behaves the way he behaves. Wrongly behaves, I mean. So that's why, if you're sensitive, you understand, then there's no question of being judgmental. So the next thing comes is you convert unnecessary judging into constructive criticism. Sometimes we have to judge. But that is not judging. But that's converting judgment into a constructive criticism. That is, there's something what's called destructive criticism, which is prajalpa. That means saying about something, about somebody to the wrong person at the wrong time, in the wrong situation. That's destructive criticism. When somebody is not really bothered about that and you give that detail to that person, that criticism is of no use. But to have constructive criticism, to speak to the right person at the right time, at the right situation, that is. So convert this judgment into constructive criticism is another powerful way to really, not being judgmental. And it is also, it is said that, I was speaking to somebody, and you remember Peter Burwash? He comes to the hospital, and we just happened, I had to spend 10 minutes with him. And we're talking about relationships. And then he made a very amazing statement. He said, everyone has a right to be what they are. So why should you bother about relation? Everybody has the right, whether they are right or wrong, that's not different, but they have the right to behave the way they are. If you are in the position of authority, then you can use your constructive criticism or whatever way to correct them. But otherwise, how many times when we make a judgment of people, 9 out of 10 times we're making judgment of people whom we don't really need to make judgments about. If you see a Congress party bekar hai, a politician bekar hai, who are you to judge somebody? Maybe they are useless. That is true, no doubt. Yeah? But do we have? I'm just giving a general example. We just are making comments about so many people who are just beyond your reach, beyond your circle of influence. This temple is useless. You know, ye to sab maya mein hai sab log. Ye brahmachari log sab bekar hai. A grihastha. I mean, where did you get this right to make judgments and that to collective judgments about people? One temple, either the sab log maya mein hai. I mean, that's a powerful judgment you are making. And please understand, any judgment you make, the gopis, when they make this judgment, they are divine personalities. I mean, their judgment, I was analyzing, their judgment is based upon intense attachment to Krishna. And our judgment is based upon intense attachment to false ego. To gopis, whatever they're judging, because they're so intensely attached to Krishna. Can you imagine? I mean, we cannot imagine what sort of attachment the gopis had. Krishna is such a personality that he makes himself attached to other people whom they deal with in a very easy way. Krishna is so attaching. I mean, we get attached to Krishna so easily. Just recently, I was I was traveling from by flight to one place to the other place, from Moscow to Anapa. There we were going, and there was one person, tall man, smart looking. I said, Hare Krishna. And he said, are you devotees, Hare Krishna devotees? I said, yes, we are devotees because we are this Kanti Mala and everything. So are you also devotee? Are you going to Anapa? Because there was a retreat in Anapa. I said, are you also devotee going there? I said, no, I'm not devotee. Then we finished that talk. And then we sat, and strangely, this person had the seat next to me. he was a seat. So we started talking. And he said, he used to be a devotee from a place which is next to Anapa called Novorossiysk. There's a place in Russia. He said, I used to go to the temple. There's a beautiful temple in Novorossiysk. He said, I used to go to this temple and I was chanting as I was discussing with him. And, he was talking to me and he was sipping a particular beverage that they serve, which we don't consume, obviously. It was some sort of alcohol. He was sipping and he was talking to me. I said, I used to go to this temple. At one point, I chanted 8 rounds. I said, oh, really? And then, he was sipping. And then he said, what is that? You know, suddenly he just turned to me and said, what is that song? What is the song? I said, which song? I said, because he was chanting almost 6-7 years back. He said, that song. And then he said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. I said, wow, you know this. This is wonderful. Now, for us it is normal. But please understand, a person who has left Krishna consciousness 7 to 8 years back, he was in Singapore working in a ship, earning tons of money. He was in merchant navy, making a lot of money. And then suddenly he turned to me again, he said, I'm trying to remember that song of a small god. I said, what is the song of the small god? I was trying to get all the songs out of him. I said, which are the songs you know? I said, yeah, the song of small god. I said, what do you mean small god? I said, Damodar Astakam, Namam Vishwaram, Sachit. I said, no, not that. Then he said, Namaste Narasinghaya, Prahlad Lad. I said, he called Prahlad Maharaj the song, a small god. And he sang the whole Narsingha prayers. He said, I'm singing these prayers after 8 years. He sang it from beginning to end perfectly. And while he was singing, please understand, he was sipping that beverage. Prahlad Lad. And eating something obnoxious. And I was thinking that. And then he said, you know something, the most thing that I just can't forget in the temple? I said, what is it? I was trying to just revive his memories. You know, it was nice to see somebody reviving. He was showing his attachment to Krishna. I said, that chapati. I said, the chapati which I ate in the temple, that flat thing. And he said, you know what? I told him, my place where I come from is chapati. So by the way, you know, he comes to Bombay, his ship sometimes comes to Bombay. I invited him, let's see whatever. But from this, he was doing Ekadasi, he was chanting 8 years back. But from this I realized that once you get attached to Krishna, you can't just give him up. You just, that intense remembrance is there. Can you imagine the attachment the gopis had for Krishna? If this person, while he is sipping that beverage and eating obnoxious thing, he is still remembering Krishna consciousness that he did 7 years ago. Can you imagine the attachment the gopis had for Krishna with unalloyed love, completely meant for Krishna? So when they speak what they speak, we analyze that. We understand that they are absolutely, of course we are not here to judge the gopis. But we are just trying to understand how we should not be judgmental in our situation and how it is so very important that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Sachi Mata wrongly judged Advaita Acharya, we know the story that Vishwarupa was going to Advaita Acharya every day, spending hours, and then he took sannyas, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nimai, he took sannyas, and then Sachi Mata said that Advaita, he is not Advaita, he is full of dualities. He made this statement and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is aparad. And Mahaprabhu made sure that Sachi Mata took the dust of Advaita's feet when he was unconscious in ecstasy, one kirtan, to make sure that she is relieved of this aparad that she had caused for wrongly judging Advaita Acharya. Just to show us, not that Sachi Mata had any aparad, she is the mother of the universe. But to show us the importance of not being judgmental. So let us all very, very seriously take this very important aspect of not being judgmental in our Krishna consciousness. Because our judgment is always based on attachment to a false ego. But judgment, when we give up our complete false ego, then we can be judgmental. But by that time, nobody can judge because Uttam Adhikari don't judge. They see everything wonderful. Right? So that is something very, very important to really learn from these beautiful verses of the gopis that they are talking about Uddhava. And then of course Krishna consciousness is all about surprises, you know, that you expect something and something wonderful happens. You know, that they were expecting Akrur and then he has come to, and they were all having such bitter disappointment, and then what they see, and we will see in the next chapter, they see Uddhava who is dressed like Krishna, who looks like Krishna. And they immediately go to Uddhava, they collect next to him, and then there's a beautiful discussion with the gopis and Uddhava. So Krishna consciousness is all about surprises. We should never judge a situation and get despondent. again, being despondent is also being judgmental, that this doesn't work. Just the other day I was reading, I'll just end with the last story. The other day I was reading a beautiful episode in Prabhupada's life. Prabhupada was desperately wanting to print this Bhagavad Gita, and there was no publisher who was ready to publish it. And Prabhupada would give this task to one devotee, to the other devotee, and when the devotee got the task, he knew that this is a task for failure. One after another. And then so many devotees tried, but nobody wanting to print Bhagavad Gita. They were not wanting. So then the task was given to Brahmanand Prabhu. And then he said, Brahmanand said, that means I'm going to fail. This is a short road to failure. It has not happened. Suddenly from somewhere they got a mail. And the mail, it was from the company called Macmillan Publishing House. And Prabhupada had recorded a particular album. He had sung Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that album was recorded, and somebody from Macmillan Studio, or Macmillan Publishing House, not studio, Macmillan Publishing House, had asked for a copy of that album. So they were supposed to just send it by post. Prabhupada said, don't give it by post, go and meet this person personally. So Brahmanand took that record, and he went to meet that person personally, and he was hoping that this person is somebody big. But as to his utter disappointment, this person was an ordinary clerk in the accounts department. So he had asked for this. So he gave this record, and the clerk gave the money, and he said, is there any way, I have my guru. Prabhupada told him that you go and tell that you have a guru who wants to publish this Bhagavad Gita. So Brahmana said, well, who is going to? So he was despondent, he was judging, but he was not really seeing what Krishna has in store. So he said, by any chance, he was not seeing what can be a success in this account, or what can he do, but he just spoke. He said, I have a guru and he wants to print this Bhagavad Gita. Is there any way you can help? I said, there is a whole department of books, and the head of this spiritual religious books is somebody. He gave the name, and while he was giving the name, the door opens, and here comes the head of the publishing house in charge of the religious books. Just see what is in store. Just like expecting Akrur, and here comes Uddhav. Similarly, he was expecting nothing, and here comes this publisher, and the accountant said, here is a person who has a guru who wants to print Bhagavad Gita. And that publisher was so ecstatic, he said, we have printed all religious books, we were looking for the manuscript of Bhagavad Gita, we don't want to even see it, we will print it right away. He said, we don't even want to see it. I mean, usually they scan through it, we know what publishing is all about, we are hearing what people are going through to release a book, one time, two times, months and months to really change to publish something. Here they say, we don't want to even see, we'll publish it. Can you imagine that this is the surprises in Krishna consciousness? That Krishna has some amazing surprises in store for us. So let us not be judgmental. A crazy Peter was a person who was crazy. he was staying in a very ordinary way, keeping his books around. People wanted to throw him out. They asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, keep him. Later on, the crazy Peter becomes Kushakrita Prabhu, the number one translator of Sanskrit books of Goswamis. Right? So if you wrongly judge people, judge not, for thou shalt not be judged. So let us be busy judging ourselves. Let us be busy minding our own business. Let us be seeing that we should not cast the stone. If we have not sinned, we have the right to cast the stone. Only if we have no faults of ourselves, then we can judge others. And today on this auspicious day of Snanayata, we have practically no time, so we will not speak anything further. Today also is the Tithi of Mukunda Dutt, appearance day of Mukunda Dutt. And Mukunda Dutt is this personality who taught us patience, the famous story that I will meet him after millions of lives, and he was jumping. So that is a beautiful. So while we are being patient, let us really learn this beautiful art of not being judgmental and being very, very spiritual in our dealings with everybody. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I will not take questions. Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hitai Gaura Premanandi. Hari, hari, hari.